Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Looks like I beat the music to the punch. Hey everyone, how you doing? I have a question. What if the problem isn't just discipline, but it's a story that your brain told yourself and decided was true before you were even old enough to question it? I'm Jamal Marshall, executive coach, certified counselor, top-ranked podcast host, and award-winning keynote speaker. But long before that happened, I want to give you guys some background information. We're hearing a lot about professionalism. We're in a very professional environment with some of the best experts in the business. You're amongst pillars. But this story isn't just professional, it's personal to me. So what I want you to know is that I came from a background that was very abusive and very traumatic. Growing up, I had one parent that was absolutely divine, and then I had another that was mean enough to be Satan themselves. Unfortunately, that person was my dad. Great provider, but he happened to be an alcoholic and a heroin addict and a cocaine addict. And so when he was under the influence of drugs and alcohol, he was extremely unpredictable. And any false move could set him off. I never knew how he was going to be. And so with him being that way, I invariably became a surrogate spouse, a surrogate father, and a lot of other things. I was even told at the age of 7, hey, you're the man of the house now. At that age, I didn't have language to comprehend what that even meant. I'm a little boy. I'm supposed to be outside playing with my friends. And though I did have those times of being outside and playing with my friends, a lot of it was littered with, okay, what's the environment going to be like once I get in, once I get inside the house? Am I coming into peace or am I coming into chaos? I was taught early on, do not kick with the waters and do not trouble the dust. And so what I learned was excellence. I am here and I'm in Washington, D.C. And, you know, you hear the word high performance a lot in Washington, D.C. But for me, my high performance was a trauma response because it kept me from anything that I perceived as rejection. When my father was under the influence, he could be extremely physically abusive and also verbally abusive. And the things that you speak, the things that you say, they carry weight that leaves a visceral effect for many years to come. The things he said to me and some of the things he did left an indelible impression. So I grew up thinking, hey, every other dude, every other girl has an X factor that I don't. In order to meet that X factor, I have to be excellent at all things. Straight A student, even in band, I was first chair. So I made sure, honor grad, you name it. I actually had most, if not 70 to 90% of my college paid for through academic scholarship. And so in a city like Washington, D.C., that can seem like, man, he's crushing it. I started my career at the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and I used to be the first person to get to work and also the last person to leave. I was told then by the director of public affairs when we had an incident where a publication was going out and I stayed all night to make sure it was getting done because we had a bunch of higher ups coming in. That's how you get ahead. And though she was right, I took that as if this needs to be my lifestyle in all things, personally, professionally, romantically. So I never was one who said no to anything and anybody. And so what high performance was for me was a defense mechanism. It made me feel safe. But the thing about it is that it filtered into every single area of my life to where, unbeknownst to me, I began to hit a wall. I didn't see myself as hitting a wall because the things I would use to escape seemingly seemed harmless. I was always performing. I was always on top of everything. I had an outstanding excellent on every performance appraisal. At my jobs, I always got my bonus. I always got my raise, always high praise. But you know, it fed something in me. It made me feel like, yo, I might just be the man like they're saying I'm the man. I heard it. I heard it from them, but I didn't really believe it. Because in the formative years, I didn't hear from the one man I was seeking it from. I don't know if you guys have ever, you know, as little kids seen the story of the leprechauns, but it was like the pot of gold, always in sight, but somehow always out of reach. I was chasing this validation. And for those of us that live in any major city or suburb, you know, we forget that validation is only for vehicles. It's only for parked cars. It's not for people. So this was my life. This was my childhood. This was my adulthood. This was how I chose romantic partners. This is how I moved through life, both personally and professionally. I didn't realize how often I was escaping pills to go to sleep, pills to wake up, escaping into addictive patterns that was actually destroying my mind, ripping my mind raw. So I decided, even being a counseling and a psychology major, like, I need to do something about this. I was always taught, like, hey, when you've really come into your own, you're going to help a lot of people. I didn't see that. Okay, I needed to help myself. And so even in the midst of, having gotten my degree and my credentials, I knew I needed to go away to get help. So for 13 months, I invested thousands of hours and thousands of dollars into my own personal, spiritual, physical, and neurological development. And that actually helped me to shift from the inside out. It was hard because I didn't realize that the very man I needed most, I actually hated. God in his mercy redeemed our story. And over time, through his own healing process, my worst enemy became my best friend. I never thought that was ha that would happen. Never thought that would happen in a million years, but it did. However, there was still the residual effects from my childhood. I still had so much that I needed to work through. So I wanted to give you guys some background just so I could engender some trust with this audience here and with those who are listening and those who will hear this played back. I never want to be one who has some Teflon presence as if I don't have anything that I haven't worked through or still need to work through when it comes up. Personal development always feeds into professional development. And so with that, I want to share with you the outcomes of those things. I had worked as when I left the government and the Federal Bureau of Prisons for a nonprofit. I came in and slow quickly became one of three senior counselors and also their public speakers. I was a chief public speaker and I would also travel for them. But I was also coordinating a remote event and I had many contractors under me. So I started to burn out. And it was because of my own insecurities. I still had that high performance in me. And I had so many insecurities. I was still healing from the residual effects of my dad. And so any wrong look from a leader led me down a path of I'm not pleasing them. I wasn't looking out for myself. And so I had to revisit modalities to understand not so much my external behavior, but my subconscious thought. Because subconscious belief will always affect external behavior. That is a phrase that I've coined and trademarked in my practice. And I want to share with you guys today some secrets because once I came out on top of that, and once I made it through that, not only was I one of three senior counselors and top performers, I could face down leadership from the founder all the way to the newest intern that had got there. Not in a way that was nasty, but in a way that was redemptive. That power positioned me both mentally, socially, emotionally, psychologically, and physically. It only helped me not just to grow, not just to get bonuses, but also to grow from the inside out and to save time. Time is our one non-renewable resource. So with that, I do want to share some secrets because that's why we're here today. What are these three secrets? So, secret one, name what is running the show. You want to name it. Let me share something with you. Subconscious beliefs don't just announce themselves. That's just a fallacy. We think, oh, this is my subconscious belief. It didn't just come out of nowhere. They show up in patterns. They show up in perfectionism. They show up in avoidance. They show up in overcommitment. 60% of my clients are women, and you'd be amazed. I mean, these people have a staff of 250 to 300. How much they are overcommitted to showing up, not just at home, not just at work, but also on home front, because these things have been ingrained since childhood. You cannot change what you refuse to identify. You have to call it out. These self-sabotaging beliefs must be faced head on. And so that's the one thing I want you to do is I want you to name the very thing that is running the show. I once heard years ago, if you think about it, we come from a hunter and a gatherer society. It is our hunger that drives us. No matter how much you chat GPT or Claude or whatever it is you're doing or how many therapeutic modalities you've been through, your hunger will always drive you. Go there, secret one, identify the drivers. That's going to be the secret. And once you name it, it starts to lose power. But that's not the final straw. We got to keep going a little bit further. Secret two, interrupt the pattern loop and interrupt the neural loop. You can write that down. Interrupt both pattern and neural loops. Here's another phrase I've coined in my practice. A pattern remains a pattern until it's disrupted. If you think about any pattern in life, even your laundry pattern, that's going to go on and on and on and on until you disrupt it. And so when you actively and proactively disrupt the neurological patterns of your brain, I don't want to lose you guys through too much information. That actually breaks something in the pattern, but it will be a tremendous intrusion. You know, the brain is used to functioning a certain way. It's used to functioning on a certain cadence. For any of us that did human anatomy class, I don't think that was a human brain. At least I hope it wasn't. But you see this wrinkly thing and you see all these ruts. Over time, those ruts have been dug deep through constant thoughts, thoughts and beliefs and actions that come behind them over and over again. Reinforced and repeated thoughts continue to reinforce neural paths. We have to go forth and disrupt these paths. If we don't, people say the word stuck. I want to say you will remain in a quicksand of your own making. And I know some of you guys from a traumatic background be like, I didn't make this. There were things perpetrated on me. But I want to give you a secret. There's something that you can do about it. The beauty of brain neuroplasticity is that the brain is always changing well into your late 90s. Science back in the 60s gave us that secret, like, yo, my brain can actually change. My brain does not have to stay this way. We were always taught beforehand that after 25 years old, the brain comes to maturation and then starts to die. Thank God for science. And thank God for ancient principles. People say, what do you mean by ancient principles? Yeah, I mean the Bible. I am a Christian. These ancient principles found here are have a way of disrupting neural loops and setting us on a different pathway. But as we know, it takes practice. I want to share something with you. There's another phrase I've coined, and you can write this down. What you practice over time, you will eventually perfect. That's both good and bad. If we continue to practice bad habits, bad belief systems, and beliefs that continue to reinforce burnout, that is the very thing that we will perfect. But if we're willing to go the opposite way, we can perfect that as well. I want to move on to secret three, because this is a huge one. Your brain protects whatever it believes you are. I want to say that one more time. Your brain protects whatever it believes you are. Like, well, how's that a secret? Because people say, I want to be this. I want to be this. I'm a seven figure. I'm an eight. I'm a nine figure earner. Are you that? Or do you just want that? When you embody that, people say the universe. I believe the God of the universe will give you the very things that you embody. It's my own testimony. You must embody that thing, and the brain will begin to protect that. But whatever you believe you are, and you find yourself stuck in a certain pattern, it's because the brain is going out of its way to protect you. I've told you guys many times that I live right here in Washington, D.C., and we don't have anything dangerous around here. We got deer, foxes, wild turkey, couple of hawks, you know, nothing that's looking for me. And we do have some snakes in the area, but the snakes here go away from you. They don't come to you. However, when I'm out in the forest and I'm walking, if I see a snake, I will naturally capitulate. Why? Because the brain says that represents danger and it's going to protect me. For you all, it could be opportunity, it could be a relationship, it could be a business venture, it could be all of the three and many other things. And if the brain sees that as dangerous, it will go out of its way to protect you from it. And you're like, how did I sabotage that? Because the brain protects what it believes you are. If it does not believe that you are worthy of that, you will not believe that you are worthy of that, and you will find some way to foul it up. This happens in romantic relationships. It happens in business partnerships. I could go on a litany of scenarios where this happens. And so it's so important to get down to what do I believe? So many different times in cognitive behavioral therapy, which I'm trained in, it focuses on the behavior. In my practice at Listen and Speak, we focus on the belief that informs the behavior. Constantly, I hear from clients. I've worked with clients from Nike, Zillow, A&E, Comcast, Amazon, LinkedIn, you name it, just to be a few. And they say, how was I in therapy and in coaching all of these years for over 16 to 20 years, and I got results with you in 6 months? Because we're working on the subconscious belief found deep at the root and within the inner sanctum. What you believe will always inform how you behave. So listen to this. The shift isn't, I want to be disciplined. The shift is, I am someone that shows up for myself. And I know for some of us hearing that, depending on your background, that shift can be daunting because you've always shown up for everybody else. It made you feel safe. I had a newsletter that I did probably 2 years ago on LinkedIn. It was a little controversial. It said the other N-word. And so, of course, you know, a bunch of folks clicked on that. They thought it was something else, but that N-word was narcissism. And most of us, if we're willing to admit and gut level honest, we have differing levels of narcissism within us. There's sometimes that narcissist within that needs to be needed because the brain actually learned that before we had language for it. That will put you always in a position of burnout because you feel like if I'm meeting needs, then I'm actually doing something right. And it is feeding my brain different levels of dopamine that actually put me in a position where there are endorphins connected to that. We have to break that. If you come from a service background, if you're military, especially if you come from anything faith-based, that is commonplace. But often, if we actually study the ancient principles, stewardship tells us, wait a minute, I need to actually be looking out for me and fill my cup before I fill the cups of others. Taught discipline says, hey, I show up, I get it done, I power through, and yeah, this is the way to go. But true discipline is stewardship. I need to steward myself first so that I'm empowered and positioned to be a blessing to others. And for anyone who has the background that I have, that can almost seem foreign. You introduce those things into the brain and the mind and the subconscious even. It's just like, well, wait a minute, intruder alert. Like, no, this is not an intrusion. This is healing. And it takes time. It takes repetitive practices over and over again, being the same way a person who is IFBB trained has built up their body to get in the gym and to look a certain way and to meet their macros. We have to do the same work in the brain. The brain looks that way because it is a muscle. So it's important to learn through unique modalities how to work those muscles in a way that power positions you in both your business professionally, your career, or your own life personally. Who we are offline trumps who we are online. And I think in this crowd, everyone knows that by now. So I want to say this: language matters neurologically. The words that we say are spirit. The things that we speak over ourselves, the things that we repeat over and over again, even unwittingly, even unbeknownst to us, is so important that we watch the way that we speak. Subconscious reprogramming comes through consistent repetition over and over and over again. When you see a guy or girl and you're like, man, I know he or she works out, it's because they've repeated those things over and over again. And at times, that takes accountability. You can't chat GPT your way to this, but I can say one thing. For anyone who's ever come to me in the past, they actually got sick and tired. Even though they were on the top of their career, top of their business, they were like, something is wrong here personally, and it's affecting everything professionally. It's affecting my marriage. It's affecting my home life. It's affecting opportunities, and I need to deal with this thing at the root, and I'm ready. It is so important that we ready ourselves. And you know, you can't force a man or woman to be ready. Pain speaks a lot louder than any marketing. I'm a firm believer in that, and that is my own testimony. I was a hot mess before I invested in my own mental, spiritual, physical, and professional wellness. But with that, I hope that these three secrets have really resonated with you. I want to just recap. Name the belief. Name the belief. Two, interrupt the loop. Remember, a pattern remains a pattern until it's disrupted. And three, I want to shorten it, rewrite the identity. The beauty of brain neuroplasticity is that you can write and stamp things on your brain that can completely cause your life, career, and business to go a 180. And I remember having quite a few 8-figure earners on my podcast. And I asked them, hey, so what's one of the secrets to your success? They say, I never cease to invest in my personal development. I spend on that because it affects every other area. So with that, y'all, I'm Jamal Marshall from Listen and Speak, developer of the Listen Method, top-ranked podcast host. If you want to continue this conversation, you can find me at listenandspeak.com or Jamal at listenandspeak.com. And lastly, I'm one of the easiest people to find on LinkedIn. My name alone has super high SEO because LinkedIn search is kind of crazy. So connect with me there and we can continue this conversation. I'm so grateful to have this time to talk to you all. And I want to wish everybody listening grace and peace.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.